2 Corinthians 10, verses 7 through 18 is about Christ's church, Christ's way, for Christ's glory. First, Christ's church. It says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. Okay, so I've been here about 2 years, almost 2 years now. And every once in a while, I'll run into somebody around here, and I'll make the acquaintance, and they'll find out I'm the pastor. I hope I'll say, oh, that's my church. And I had never seen them in my life. Two problems. One, it's Christ's church. But the other one that this verse is really well connected to is we'll inevitably get to a point in the conversation where they'll say something like, well, you know, Jesus and I have an understanding. I trust in him. He's my Savior. And we just kind of do the whole thing privately, me and Jesus. And, you know, depending on the interaction so far and what seems wise and appropriate to the particular person, often give some version of, well, Lord Jesus and I have an understanding, and that is that my way of doing things is wrong and his way of doing things is right. And his way of doing things is to be joined to his church and to be led in his word by those whom he has gifted and called and appointed for that. And because I trust only in Jesus, I feel like I'm entirely dependent on him to do it his way. And you know, I think you should consider whether deciding that he will do things your way is really trusting in him or really trusting in you. That's the situation that Paul was facing with some of the Corinthians, right? He was sending the Corinthians instruction. There have been a couple letters now that he had sent to them, one between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, that was not a letter that was inspired for Holy Scripture, but was still an apostolic letter of instruction, shepherding, and correction. It was a hard letter, a grievous letter, he calls it. And apparently there have been some in the church of Corinth that we don't need to listen to Paul. We've got Jesus. Jesus and us have an understanding. And Paul says, okay, if you're convinced in yourself, and that's a dangerous thing to be convinced in yourself rather than convinced in the Spirit, as the Scripture sometimes puts that. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, well, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. You know, we live in a time and a place where covenanted commitments being bound to one another, especially if it includes submission to authority. It's not just in this time and age in which those things grind against the flesh, but the mindset of our culture has really strongly rebelled against those ideas of being committed to one another and being under authority. And the question isn't so much, can I do whatever I want since I am Christ's? Okay, the whole I'm forgiven, so that's a get to sin free card, right? Get out of hell free card and get to sin free card. It's worth about just about as much as that Monopoly money. The question is, how does Christ grow me? How does Christ use me? Where is the first place he's given to lead me and teach me and give me himself and work in me by his Spirit? Where is the first place he's given me to employ what he's doing in me for the good of others? We're not free agents, brothers and sisters. This reminds us, you know, those similar problem in the first letter, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we were praying and thinking through it a little bit earlier today when we were praying through John 17 and thinking about being joined to one another. But 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the one body and many members, and he talks about being members of one another, and none of us, because we are not the particular, don't have the particular role or graces or character that the Lord has given someone else in the body, we don't have the liberty to say, well, I am therefore not of the body. And then after that he says, and you can't do that in the other direction. You can't say to somebody else, because the role that God has given them and the work of grace that he's doing in them is different from the one that he is doing in you, that you are not part of the body. But right there in the middle of those two sections of 1 Corinthians 12 says in verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And so Paul comes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and he says, look, it's Christ who has given me to you as your apostle. And later in the passage, he says, we're the first who arrived in Corinth with the gospel. The Lord providentially demonstrated that he was assigning you to submit to us, and he was assigning us to lead you by sending us to you with the gospel in the first place. It's similar to what we saw in last week's portion, the first several verses of this chapter, when he's saying, there are people who say that Paul really can't do anything to us, but look at the power of the gospel that we preach. How the Lord used the preaching of gospel to destroy the stronghold of the devil that was keeping you in darkness and keeping you from believing in Christ. The same power that he exercised positively in bringing you to faith, he exercises not just in the preaching, but also in the government and the discipline of the church, that there is spiritual power being exercised. And we won't restudy or rehash that entire thing. But he's saying Christ is the one who has to whom the entire church belongs. If you're Christ, it's great. We are Christ's. The church is Christ's. The Lord's Day is Christ's. The Lord's Day assemblies are Christ's. The means of grace in the assembly are Christ's. You want to do the I belong to Jesus thing? Praise God. Just follow and do all the other things that belong to Jesus too. Don't flatter yourself that you belong to Jesus while you reject all of his ordinances and institutions. So Christ's church, Christ's way, to Christ's glory. We're skipping over a lot here. But one of the things that he wants to make sure to say is, look, the authority that we have, since it's from Jesus, you can have confidence that it is for your good. Okay? If you trust in Christ, and Christ is the one who has placed something in your life. One of the hard things, for instance, believing couple who having difficulty in their marriage. Okay, well, Jesus is the one who has given you that husband. Jesus is the one who is giving you that wife. If you are Christ and marriage is from Christ and you are assigned to them, then you can know that whatever else is going on, it is for your good. And then the reciprocal is, if the Lord has given me to my wife, or if the Lord has given my wife to me, then I know that his intent is to do her good through me. So there's an implied responsibility there. Okay? In the analogy, both things are true for Corinth. Okay, he says, Jesus is the one who gave us to you. And if Jesus is the one who gave us to you, he gave us to you to build you up, not to destroy you. If we are leading according to the word of Christ, and you follow the word of Christ under our leadership, it may feel to you painful for the time, but it is for your building up. Trust Christ. Put Christ to the proof. Follow him and see that he is faithful and he does good and he builds you up. But there's also the responsibility. If he is Christ, then he's not free to just do or say whatever he wants to. He talks about the limitation of his authority, doesn't he? And that comes by Christ's providence and Christ's word. I'm not the assigned elder to every believer that I see in Murray County. Now, I can't see somebody with a Christian t-shirt. I might, as a brother, go up in the field with them, depending on what they're doing. But I can't, as an elder, assert authority over them. The Lord has limited the sphere of our elders' authorities to our church, just like husbands are not in authority over all the other women in the church. Husband is in authority over his own wife. The woman in the church does not have to submit to all the men in the church. I know that sounds crazy to you, but there are some people who actually make that mistake. So there are limitations, but the ultimate limitation is that elders in the church, even the apostle, even by virtue of the title of apostle, could only command and teach those things that are from Christ himself. Christ chose Christ's way for Christ's glory. That's why in verse 12 he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Did you catch the key word?
Yes,
verse 12. Themselves, right? It's very similar, isn't it, to convince in himself. Well, let him again consider this in himself in verse 7. It's either your church, your way for your glory, or it's Christ's church, Christ's way, and if it's going to be that way, it has to be only for Christ's glory. I think there is a dangerous temptation in our flesh to try to do Christ's church, Christ's way for our glory. Right? You say, "Well, I got it figured out, and I know how to give lip service to the truth." You know, like the Pharisee saying, "I thank you, God, that I am not like a sinner like this, like this man over here." Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It's Reformed doctrine. "I thank you, God, it's all by your grace that I am so much better than everyone else." Right? In his character, and even in his use of what is theologically accurate insofar as it goes, he demonstrates that he misses the point completely. But we are in danger. We can be in danger because of our remaining sin, the remaining flesh, of doing Christ's church, Christ's way for our glory. We are the only pure church. We have figured out all the things that the Bible says about how to do church, and we are doing it Christ's way because we are so wonderful. Or because we thank you, Christ, that we are not like all those other churches out there. You hear even you can say Christ's glory and mean my glory. The sin and the flesh is very, very tricky thing. And so Paul knows that that's danger, and he says, "Look, it's not about us. It is about the Lord Jesus. And it's not just about the Lord Jesus for us to minister to you, but we're hoping that in your following us, you would actually come to be used by God and send us, and the gospel would go further." Do you see that in verses 15 and 16? "Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere." So we don't think we're something in ourselves. We think Christ is everything. And one of the things that we had hoped about you was that as Christ worked in you through our ministry, you might be someone that he uses to increase our ministry so that the gospel goes further, so that the gospel goes to someone else. And then you would rejoice. Not that you have been so wonderful and through you has gone the gospel, but that Jesus is being glorified even through us. That we have that privilege and participation. So he's basically saying, you guys get over yourself and get over the idea that we're about ourselves, because the whole point is that we would be about Christ and you would be about Christ, and through us, other people would come to be all about Christ to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. You know, we don't look for credit, he says. We're just looking for opportunity for ministry. And of course, the conclusion, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Those two things actually go together, don't they? The Lord is never going to commend any of you because of the quality, never going to commend you because of the worthiness, that's what we're looking for, of your work. When he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, what's he saying? He's saying, I worked in you by my Son, and I produced things by Christ in you that were good and that were faithful. And everything that wasn't of him has been put away on his cross, and you get a well done that Jesus has earned and that Jesus has produced in you and in your life. Okay? That's the way that the Lord commends. And that's why, if we are not glorying only in Christ and glorying that only he would get glory, it's not that people would see us and say, oh, look at Pastor, or oh, look at Elijah, or oh, look at Hopewell. But that they would say, you know, Pastor's Lord is glorious. Elijah's Lord is glorious. Hopewell's Lord is glorious. And we have come to know him as our Lord and have found him to be glorious. And we're hoping that he will use us to bring others to know him as their Lord. That they will know that he is glorious. So that the glory of the Lord is the only true and great glory in the church. Will you pray for us, Kevin?